A six-year-old boy was helping mom in the garden. And as the mother was absorbed in her work, the little boy explored the miracle of growing things by taking a daffodil. And as he had the daffodil bud in his hand, he sat there and he studied it closely, but with his two little hands, he tried to pry it open. And then he started to cry because, of course, the bud collapsed, the petals were limp, and the flower was dead. Frustrated, he cried out, "Mummy, why is it when I try to open the buds, it just falls to pieces and dies?" How does God open beautiful flowers? And even before his mom could answer, a broad smile broke across the child's face, and he said, "I know, God works from the inside." This is a parable of the kingdom. This is a parable of how God truly does work from the inside. His kingdom is alive and it's growing when we open our lives to him from the inside out. And that's what today's gospel reading, so famous, one of the most famous passages in all of the New Testament, helps us to understand. Here we see Jesus in conversation with a scribe, and the scribes were the biblical scholars of the first century. They had looked at the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, and in there they had come to see that there are 613 commandments. And one of the things the scribes liked to do when they were sitting around together and discussing the Torah, especially, they would try to figure out what is the overriding principle, what is the idea that summarizes all of the Torah. And this is exactly what the scribe is asking of Jesus. What is that overarching principle? And our Lord answers by quoting from Deuteronomy what is known as the Great Israelite Confession of Faith. The Deuteronomy is to the Jews what the Creed is for us. It's called the Shema, which means to hear. That's what the word Shema means. And so our Lord says, in quoting Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone." And you need to appreciate this, that the Jewish people always lived in a world of polytheism, people that believed there were many, 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 many gods. And the Jewish people were the only people that said there was one God. And he's not only the God of the Israelites, they came to recognize that he is the God of the universe. He is the universal God, and we are to love him totally. And now Jesus goes on to say how this love happens, and it is a job from the inside out. He begins by talking about how we are to love God with all of our heart. And this word heart means we are to love God in the inner depths of our person. The heart is the wellspring from which our decisions and actions flow. And depending on the state of our heart, we could either express from our heart those types of attitudes, those kinds of actions that show love, or as Jesus said, also from the heart overflow things like covetousness, greed, anger. So the heart is, in a sense, the seat of either virtue, or it is the seat of vice. But we are to love God with all of our heart, which then flows into loving God with all of our soul. Remember, it says in the Bible that God breathed his spirit into us and human beings became a living soul. And the soul, in a sense, is the whole of our life that is animated and inspired by God. And of our soul, Jesus said, "For whoever would save his life or his soul will lose it. And whoever loses his life or his soul for my sake and for the gospel will save it." He also said of himself, "For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve and give up his life or his soul for the ransom of many." So you need to understand that the soul is our lives animated by the Spirit of God, and that we are to give those over to the love of God. Then he uses this term, mind, to emphasize that even our thoughts and reasoning must be animated by love for God. And then that last word, strength. emphasizes that love for God is not some sort of sentiment that arises spontaneously, but is a day by day by day commitment, where every ounce of our energy, is to be used in such a way that we totally give ourselves over to God, to love him with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength is the first part of this inside job. But that's not all, because Jesus then goes on to do something that had never been done before. He brings together this passage from Deuteronomy with a passage from the book of Leviticus in chapter 19, verse 18, where he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And of course, what is he doing here? Well, he's bringing together the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is dealing with our love for God, 1, 2, 3. Commandments 4 to 10, dealing with our love for one another. And the implication that our Lord is making here is that these things are inseparable. Our love for God is made concrete and expressed by how we love our fellow human beings. And one of the things that I always like to remind myself of is to envision the cross. Whereas we think of the vertical beam, this of course relates to our love for God. And when we then think of the horizontal beam, this is our love for one another. And you do not have a cross unless you have both the vertical and the horizontal coming together. St. John in his first epistle expressed it this way, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." So to love others as ourselves means to make their well-being as high a priority as our own. But here's the point in the application. This is an inside job. Love cannot be forced. And so often, if we look at what goes wrong in human relationships, it's when, like that little boy, we have tried to force love and it just ends up petals on the ground. However, as we learn to understand that this is a work of God by his Spirit, then the flower analogy works beautifully, because the grace of God is like the sunshine. And as we open up our inner life more and more to his grace, then in turn, what happens, we flower more and more and live the lives God designed us to live. To love him, to love one another, is indeed the fulfillment of the commandments. And whenever we look at the crucifix, we see the outstretched arms of the great lover who always is telling us, this is what your life is about. This is how we are to live.